Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
How's it going, Chiefs Kingdom, and welcome to episode 56 of the Great British Chiefs Show with your boys from the Kingdom, representing the Kingdom, myself, Brad Simcox, and our headlines editor, Tom Childs. This week, Tom and I are not so smug after witnessing an absolute calamity of errors from a Chiefs team that was expected to dominate the Colts in a big way. Obviously, we'll give you our reaction to this, plus we'll be previewing a somewhat blustery matchup between the Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But first,
there's nothing anyone can do, there's nothing anyone can say, there's little can be done right now to make this go away. Cliched, simple platitudes do not to quell the dread, and the breadth and gravity.
Planted, and it's mishandled by Sky Moore, and the Colts have recovered at the 4-yard line. The rookie Sky Moore.
Extra point by Amendola is wide of the mark.
For what may come to be, but what I could really use right now is a bacon roll and a cup of tea.
I think he makes it right down the middle.
Oh, big fake! That's what I saw coming. The pass incomplete.
This is shit. Well, this is shit.
We'll not fake this one, Jim.
This kick is no good.
Reacting like it's against Kansas City.
Defense number 95.
And all you do is come out and throw it deep.
Fires and intercepted on the deflection. And the Colts are going to upset the Kansas City Chiefs.
Judge or take offense at my incessant f***ing swearing and my unfiltered sentiments. So stop the pragmatic.
As we all saw, the Chiefs lost 2017 to the Indianapolis Colts in what can only be described as a f*** up beyond all recognition.
Oh, straight in with the F-bomb.
Straight in, mate. I mean, this was an absolute f***ing calamity from the highest order, wasn't it, Tom? And I'm still pissed about it.
Wow, three swear words in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
The bleep button's certainly getting its work.
Oh, it's the quack today. This time. It's the quack. I like the quack better.
Okay, the quack button is is getting his overtime this week. Start paying that man some double time, or paying that duck some double time, should we say. What we're recording, this is a rarity, because normally we record Tuesday nights to be released Wednesday morning KC time, or Wednesday afternoon KC time. But we couldn't make it work this week. We couldn't record Tuesday. And obviously we've got the news, or pending news, potential news about the relocation of the game against the Bucs. So we decided to record a little bit later this week. And we're actually recording just a matter of hours before release. Like it's 5:30 in the evening here in the UK. We expect this show to be released in the next 3 or 4 hours or so. And I'm kind of over it. Like, it's like...
You're over it now, the game?
Yeah, I'm kind of got to that point now where I'm a bit dead inside towards it, because and I know that sounds extreme, right? But I just keep reminding myself that this happens every year with Andy Reid. We get these performances every single year out of an Andy Reid team where we take our foot off the brake, we take a team too lightly, a team that we should absolutely steamroll. We make stupid mistakes, we make stupid decisions, and we end up losing, and we end up looking stupid. Then people start talking about Patrick Mahomes. Is he as good as we think he is? Is Andy Reid on the hot seat? There's the inevitable conversation about Eric Bieniemy, and I'm sure we have all of those conversations in the next 20 minutes or so. But then I remind myself, actually, what happens at the end of the season? The Chiefs are always there. It doesn't matter. Like every year since 2014, the Chiefs have made the playoffs, excluding, 2014, the Chiefs have made the playoffs under Andy Reid. And every single season, you can look at one performance and go, well, that was rubbish. And that was really bad. And at the time, it feels like the worst thing in the world. I admit, Sunday night, I was absolutely raging. I was fuming. But I'm sitting here, 3 days later, 72 hours after the fact, I must say I'm kind of over it now. You clearly aren't.
I'm not over it because I truly believe that a Mahomes-led Chiefs team could go undefeated throughout a season.
It could. Well, that's why you're annoyed.
No, no, it could. No, I'm not just saying that's the reason why I was annoyed. But what I'm saying is I believe that this team could do it, or the Mahomes-led era could do it. And every now and again, like you said, there's a game where you just think, what are we doing? Why are we playing like this? Why are we not putting teams to the sword? Why are we becoming this other team that we're actually playing against? We almost like mold ourselves towards the shittest team that's around at the time.
That's your fourth swear word already, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. And you can tell how kind of angry I am. I'm trying not to go for the fifth one. But I'm really frustrated. I mean, I'm just so happy this wasn't a 1:30 game. 1:30 a.m.
Imagine.
I'd have been, seriously, the TV would have been smashed to pieces because I don't want to feel, though. I'm putting that commitment in, right, to get up early in the morning, right, ruin my night, yeah, and then ruin my early morning and then ruin my day ready for the next working day by watching a performance like that.
Is it not better, though, that the team made or had a performance as a collective? Like, because, like, let's be honest, outside of the defense, that team was pretty bad across the board on Sunday evening.
And... Oh, no, the defense was shit, mate. hey, they let 20 points in. You said your eye test. 20 points.
You want to go into that, do you?
No, I don't.
You want to go into that?
No, they weren't. I'll be honest, right? They were really good this week. I'll give them that.
They've been really good all year. I don't know what you're talking about. But anyways.
Even though they give up more
points.
We
can talk about positives.
They give up more points than last week, but never mind.
Talk about positives in a few minutes' time. But aren't you not, like, I'm kind of happy that there was this kind of collective of pooing the bed done by many a players.
It was collective, wasn't
Sky
it?
Sky Moore made his mistakes in this game from punt returner. Guarantee he won't have a game like that punt returning ever again, or not anytime soon.
Yeah.
The offensive line was bad. Receivers dropped passes. There were some brain dead decisions made by some players. There were some brain dead decisions made by coaches in this game.
Yeah.
Like, surely it's better that they all get those mistakes out the way in one game, as opposed to sprinkling little costly mistakes throughout the season. Like, we know the Chiefs' schedule. They're going to play so many tight games. And, like, they played one last week against the Chargers, and inevitably it was one mistake made by the Chargers which cost that game. It was Gerald Everett just being too tired and Justin Herbert throwing in the ball to a player that probably shouldn't have been on the field. So that one mistake cost the Chargers a win against the Chiefs. When you got close games, it's going to be the one mistakes that make the difference. So why not just have them all collected? And I'm not sitting here saying, oh, the Chiefs aren't going to make another mistake this season. I don't doubt for one second there will be more mistakes made throughout the season. But we're not going to see a performance that bad.
No.
All season. I stupidly went on to Stampede Blue, the SB Nation site for the Colts.
Yeah.
And honestly, because obviously, if the listeners know, I do 5 questions every week. They send questions to me, I send questions to them. And every other writer is quite polite about it. Like, they send their answers. I'm kind of a bit, they're like, their answers are great and everything. They, like, you learn a lot. But there's not much, like, trash talk, as it were. I'm supremely arrogant with every single answer that I send.
I didn't get that about you, mate. Really.
At the end of the day, I support a team with Patrick Mahomes. They don't. I cover a team with Patrick Mahomes. They don't. So I feel like the Andy Reid and Mahomes-based Chiefs have given me a platform, this pedestal that I can sit on and just, like, play, I'm the king of the castle.
You're in the ivory tower, aren't you?
Exactly. I am in my ivory tower. So I do it. And I do it every week. I probably went a bit too far this week with the 5 questions. And because I was so cocksure last week that we were going to win this game.
Tim.
Like, I was contemplating putting £200 on Chiefs covering on Sunday night. I was on the train. I had it loaded up, and I was contemplating doing it. Right, I was thinking about, like, let's just do it. Let's make a quick, easy £200. And I'm glad I didn't. Obviously, I'm glad I didn't. Sure. But that's how sure I was about the Chiefs, not only winning but also covering and destroying the Colts. So I give it someone five questions. You know, started talking about how the Colts need a miracle. Jonathan Taylor needs to be his MVP form from last year. Matt Ryan needs to look like the 2016 version of Matt Ryan. Started giving answers like that. Tyreek who? All these type of questions and answers. You know. And obviously, it didn't materialize. I've never felt so stupid in my entire life as I did on Sunday night, because I knew what would happen. I went straight back to that article. I went to the comments, and Colts fans were there, rightly.
I'm going to retweet it.
Let me find it. I want to retweet it.
But what I'm trying to say is, like, for the Colts to win that game, they had to have so much go right for them. And if you, in the intro, in your little bit, you made your 2 minute music rendition.
With everything going wrong.
They literally needed all of those things to go wrong.
Yes.
Every single one of them. If any of them are positive for the Chiefs, whether it's the Kelce catch, Sky Moore doesn't fumble a punt, Amendola manages to kick, like this, like all these different things that went wrong for the Chiefs. If one of them goes right, the Chiefs win this game. So the Chiefs are never going to be this bad again. They can't be this bad again. Not this season anyway.
But it was a surprise to see that on the special teams. I mean, like you said, we never speak about the special teams, even though, you know, historically they've been pretty darn good, especially under Dave Toub, haven't they?
Mm.
But this was like, what on earth is going on? Everything that was happening on special teams was going wrong. And it all seemed to just stem really from that Sky Moore kind of spill that he had. Yeah. But then even the second one, there was another punt later on, wasn't there? And he didn't feel 100% sure he was going to catch it. So he just let it bounce. And obviously
I've not been entirely sure on Sky Moore all season on punts, because I feel like he's been reaching into catches a bit too much. Like, he's not been like, I don't feel like he's had his feet set in the right position all season. Mm. And like, there's one, I think it was against Arizona. I'm pretty sure it might have been against Arizona, where he's just reaching out for the ball and the defender come charging in. And if that defender was like, I don't know, a tenth of a second earlier, he's hitting Sky Moore just as it's hitting his fingers, and he would have fumbled it. So I've not been entirely impressed with him. But into the broader point about special teams, special teams should never cost you a game. Like, they can absolutely win you a game, special teams. Like, but them winning you a game should be a bonus.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember 2013, Dexter McCluster, like all the kick returns, everything that we had there? Getting that one special teams play a game or whatever it was a bonus. And that was great. But special teams should never be the reason why you lose football matches.
Yeah.
And it's unforgivable if they are the reason that you lose football matches, because for a lot of players, this is the only thing they do.
Yeah.
Or predominantly the main thing that they do. They're not like staples of the offense. They're not staples of their defense. Their primary job is specialist when it comes to special teams. Mm. So the mistakes like that shouldn't happen. And it's not helped when you're having a bad special teams day as it is, and your kicker starts making mistakes. Mm-hmm. And then for whatever reason, you decide, actually, Tommy Townsend, it's fourth down. Why don't we roll you out and maybe try a pass? That for me was the single biggest mistake in the entire game, to be honest, because that for me is a mental and a coaching error.
Yeah.
The other errors that were made were physical errors. It was Sky Moore didn't secure the ball properly, or the snap wasn't perfect for Amendola to kick the ball, or Amendola kicked the ball in the wrong. It was just small physical. Obviously, there's a mental side to it, but they were physical errors.
Yeah.
The decision to take Mahomes off the field on fourth down and then to attempt a fake field goal, considering how bad everything had gone already in that game on special teams, was just ludicrous. And I don't see a way in which Dave Toub makes that decision by himself. That would have had to have been signed off by Andy Reid. And for me, it was the most puzzling decision of the day. Yeah. Never mind the stuff that happened at the end of the first half of the enemy and Mahomes. Mm. That particular decision to allow Tommy Townsend to roll out to his left and try to throw a ball across his body to a leaking player, it was just mind-blowingly dumb.
Do you think they make that call if Amendola was knocking in the field goals?
No, probably not. They probably let him kick it. But but if you're going to put the ball in anyone's hands, put it in Patrick Mahomes.
That's what you're paying
like,
for.
Let him. What was it? Was it 4th and 9? 4th and 11?
4th and 10 or something. Like yeah, that. Something like that. It was 4th and 11.
Do you remember the days when we used to laugh at 3rd and long? We used to call it 3rd and Mahomes.
3rd and Mahomes. 3rd and 15 yeah. was always the 15 Mahomes, wasn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, it's 3rd and Mahomes. And I remember that, especially that 2018 season and the 2019 season as well. Whenever it went to 3rd and long, just not being worried, like at all. Just chilling. And like, this is when Mahomes probably played behind a worse offensive line at that point. Mm. He had less weapons. Obviously, he had some very good weapons, but he had less overall weapons. Yeah. And he could just make his pass, escape the pocket. And obviously, teams have wised up to what he does out of the pocket with late plays. And obviously, defenders now cover their receivers a lot longer than they ever have done. But what are we doing? Like, you've got the greatest arm in the world. You've got the greatest quarterback in the world. If you're going to make someone pass the ball, give it to that guy and let him do it. Don't let Tommy Townsend do it.
Yeah. It's interesting to think that you've got a great mind in Andy Reid. You've got a great player in Patrick Mahomes. And yet, for some strange reason, they will not take what teams give them. They will not take the fact that, if they're taking away the deep ball, the deep threat, they'll still keep trying to force it down into that deep plays, into the big chunk plays. And it never seems to be... I mean, we've seen glimpses of it this season where we've been using the running backs a little bit more in the passing game.
Yeah.
But it's almost like it's not the forefront of the mind, first of all. The first thing that in their mind and in Patrick Mahomes' mind is go for the big chunk plays. But we never seem comfortable in that at the moment because, like you said, teams like to sit deep. I mean, there was cover four quite a few times in that game, wasn't there? Cover three, cover four. Where the Colts were sitting back, and we never took the underneath. And I think that's the main frustrating thing for me is if that's what they're setting themselves, they're setting the stall out for, take what's given. Take the underneath. Take the small dink and dunk plays. Take the checkdowns. And I hate saying that because I was always quite critical of the Alex Smith era where it was like, it was screens, it was checkdowns, it was dink and dunk, but it moved the chains. It was essential to that team moving the chains. And we don't seem to be having that mindset in Mahomes. We think, oh, well, he's got an arm, he's got the talent, he's got he can peel out of the pocket if it collapses. Mm-hmm. We're still reliant on that and we still believe it's going to happen all the time. And we get the odd game now and again where it just doesn't happen. And it's always against the team we believe that we should be beaten.
Yeah, it doesn't help that you've got a run game that just doesn't exist either. Like,
well, yeah, there is that. That's another thing we need to come on to be honest, because the run game is...
So before we get onto running backs, it's like what you're saying is that the Chiefs have their style and they do not want to move away from it. They don't want to adapt to opponents. Sorry to bring it on to Arsenal, but Arsenal used to be famous for that. Under Wenger, especially not in the early years of Wenger when it worked, but in the later years of Wenger, it was like... Arsenal would play their style, their brand of football, regardless of the opponent, because in his mind, their brand of football was good enough to
beat anyone. Yeah, yeah.
It didn't matter who they played. They could beat anyone. But as soon as teams like if they matched them fire with fire, often Arsenal would win. The attacking team would always, the better attacking team would win against a lesser attacking team.
Yeah.
But when a team come out and put a little bit of pressure on Arsenal, played up in their face, start kicking them, getting a little bit more physical, the dirtier side of the game, the grittier side of the game, which the Colts were absolutely better at than the Chiefs on Sunday.
Yeah, more physical, weren't they?
Yeah, then the Arsenal style, the attacking, the gung-ho type of style didn't work. And maybe that's the problem with Mahomes. Arteta now, the Arsenal manager, kind of adapts his style for different games now. And we're better at playing different opponents where Arsenal could only beat like certain types of teams back in the day.
Yeah.
Maybe Andy Reid and Mahomes need to look at it and think, actually, maybe we do need to game plan for specific teams and find out their weaknesses and like really attack the weaknesses. And if they do decide to cover their weaknesses with other players, then attack the holes that they give. And it sounds so simple. It sounds like football 101. There's a space there, let's attack that. But they're just not doing it. Yeah. But they're also not helping themselves either by sticking to the run game as much as they are.
Yeah.
The early down runs, I know you do it to balance the playbook. I know you do it to try and bring the defense up. But why not just have the running back come out the passing game and give him, let him have the check down? Why not try and bring this defense forward with passes out to the flats, with hitches to tight ends? Like, yeah. why bother taking the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands just to put it into Clyde Edwards-Helaire's hand or Pacheco's or Jarrett McKinnon, just to basically run into the back of the offensive lineman and back into defenders' arms? If it's
wasting a down, because if it's not effective and you know it's not been effective throughout the game, then you're right. Yeah, switch to throwing it to the flats or creating a screenplay or something like that. At least, you know, if you're going to get it into the running back's hands, mm-hmm. use that to your advantage. Like you said, dink and dunk a little bit more. I hate saying that as well because of the Mahomes era we're in. But sometimes it's necessary. I mean, we'll come on to the Bucs later on, but watching the Bucs versus the Packers, there wasn't a lot going on with the offenses. So they had to, they couldn't, the deep threats were taken away from both quarterbacks. And you see most of the plays in that game were quite dink and dunk short plays
mm-hmm.
because that's what the quarterbacks have thought, right, okay, it's that kind of game. It's a bit more of a, you know, it's a bit more of a shootout, a bit more of a battle. And that's what they felt like they were having to do. Yeah, there was the odd big play now and again, but majority of it was really short plays. And
it's what's made Rodgers and Brady so successful.
Exactly.
Over the years, like their ability to just take what the defense give them and also carry that threat of the deep play and the special throw every now and then is what keeps defenders guessing. And the Chiefs need to start adding that little bit of variation. They also need to add a little bit more of aggressiveness as well in terms of using the four downs.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to call the type of offense which you're calling for, mm-hmm. then that's going to enable you to go for it on fourth downs. Because if you're getting a guaranteed 3, 4, 5 yards through the air, then it might be 2nd and 5. You might have an incompletion. You might have a 3rd and 5, might incomplete that. But then a 4th and 5, I fancy Mahomes' chances to make 1 out of 3passes. I do. I think
it's Kelsey as well.
It's quite good odds in our favor.
Yeah.
So if you can pair some smart play calling using the entire field, using the entire collection of pass catchers that you have, paired with this mindset that we are going to go for it.
Use every down. Yeah.
Every single down. We don't want to see Tommy Townsend on the field at any point past the Chiefs going past their own 35, 36, 37. Mm. You pair with that type of mindset, then eventually that will have to bring defenses forward. It would have to, because defenses would not stand for it. They would not stand for just having the ball moved up and down on them all day. They don't want to be on the field that long. They need to get the Chiefs off the field. They need to get pass rush. They need to get interceptions. They need to get a hold of Mahomes. If they can't get hold of Mahomes, they're going to come forward. And then you've got the opportunity to hit MBS. Then you have the opportunity to hit McColl on the deep plates. And then you can open it up and then they start to back off and you start doing that. It's just to and fro in. Yeah. It's quite a simple idea. And I'm sure Andy Reid doesn't need us two Brits telling him what to do.
Well, maybe he does.
But it'd be quite nice just to see it from once in a while.
Can you imagine that? Two Brits on the sideline calling the players. Can you imagine that? There would be chaos, especially if I was taking them as well.
Yeah.
Bloody hell. I might get all this kind of Mahomes in my head where I'm just going, just throw it 80 yards, it'll be fine. Just throw it 80 yards. Go Roots, go Roots, go Roots.
He doesn't look the same this year though, does he?
Who?
Mahomes. No.
Do you know what? I actually thought in the first week, I thought, oh my God, this is it. We're getting vintage Mahomes here. We're getting 2018 Mahomes. He's just going to be lights out. And the game against the Chargers, it was a little bit, we expected that it was going to be a bit of a fight, didn't we? But this is the kind of game against the Colts where you think, this is where Mahomes earns his money. This is where he is fire.
Mm.
And for whatever reason it is, it's just, it just doesn't materialize. And these are the games really that kind of define you when you're going for the MVP race.
Yeah.
That you know, these are the kind of games where you need to rack up the yards a bit more, rack up the touchdowns, rack up the, you know, the amazing highlight plays and stuff. And he's not getting that at the critical points, I think. And already, I think people are just going to completely count him out of the MVP race because he's lost an inferior opponent like the Colts.
Yeah, and obviously it doesn't help that you've got other quarterbacks like Tua, Jalen Hurts, shiny new things that are playing very well, and their teams are both undefeated. I think if Josh Allen had won on Sunday and marched the Bills down after to get field goal after the butt punt, then you might as well have just given him the MVP immediately.
Yeah.
But so never mind. I suppose Mahomes doesn't measure his success on MVPs.
It's,
but
it's
just
what it is. At
there's something. Yeah. There's something off. Is it the offensive line? Is it him? Is it the receivers?
Is it
the play calling? But right now, it just doesn't look like sunshine and roses. Like, he's still the best player in the league. I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
But right now, I just feel like something's a little off. He needs a get right game, and maybe that will come in the form of a primetime game against Tom Brady.
I mean, a lot has been said about the kind of heated argument between Holmes and Bieniemy, wasn't there? I don't read anything into that, to be honest. I mean, I know there's a lot of people thinking that there's a bit of disharmony in there and stuff. But that, to me, that just shows. I mean, did you see the Bills' offensive coordinator smashing the hell out of his desk?
Yeah.
That's the passion that you need, I think, a lot of the time. And Mahomes is a passionate player. Mahomes is one of those players who, you know, he probably wasn't happy with the call towards the end of the half. To be honest, I wasn't happy with it either. It just seemed very much, you know, we'll just give up and just get into the locker room. But Mahomes is one of those players. He just wants to keep making plays and keep, you know, bringing the team forward. And I think he felt a little bit frustrated. He was kind of held back on the reins a little bit.
Do you think he made that call? Do you think Andy Reid did make the call? He said he has. It was him, but I think it was.
I don't know. I mean, it does feel like that Andy Reid was a little bit kind of standoffish with his player calling a little bit this week. It could be. I don't know.
The enemy calls the plays.
Yeah, I suppose.
I'm not. We had this conversation last year, and not last year, at the end of last season, about the enemy. And I just want something fresh in there.
It's got a bit stale, hasn't it?
I just do. Yeah. I'm like, and it's nothing against the enemy personally, but he's kind of like ruined the Andy Reid cycle.
Yeah.
And like, I know Kafka's not doing a great job in New York. Okay, they're 2-1, but he's not setting the world
job though in New York.
Yeah, exactly. He's not setting the world on fire. Yeah. But the cycle of Andy Reid's coaches, you become an OC, you become a HC.
Yeah.
And then the next assistant, offensive assistant moves up. And for years we always assumed that after Doug Peterson left and Eric Bieniemy took over full time, after Matt Nagy left and Eric Bieniemy took over full time, we always assumed that quarterback's coach Mike Kafka would be the next guy, and then there would be someone underneath Kafka that they would become the next guy when he gets a head coach. But Bieniemy sticking around has just kind of ruined that cycle a little bit.
Do you think bringing Nagy back is going to be one of those things that they're probably stashing on the sideline, maybe stashing in the background, and just think, do you know
what to be the next
if Bieniemy does go at the end of this season, do you think they bring Nagy back in? Because it looked very good with Nagy at the helm, didn't it? I mean, let's be honest. That was one of the, you know,
the Alex Smith season.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That was funny that season because there was all that. That was all the talk about the Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, who is calling the plays.
Yeah.
There was that big, because I think it was, it was that mid-season slump we went on when we lost to the Giants and the Jets.
God, yeah.
And then we had Travis Kelce throwing passes, Tyreek Hill throwing passes, all that thing, all that carry on happening. And we went on a bad stretch, didn't we? And I think they passed it to Matt Nagy and then we went on a little run. And then the second half against the Titans in the wild card game happens. And then Matt Nagy was a Chicago Bear after that. So maybe Matt Nagy is the next guy. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's someone else in the room already. I guarantee the next guy is already in the building.
I guarantee that. I hear what you're saying, though. The cycle is definitely broken because it's not been that fluid next man up kind of thing, is it, in the offensive coordinator? So, I get what you're saying there. It does seem a bit like it's stale now.
The offense is becoming to this junction where well, he probably won't, but Travis Kelce's meant to have some drop off at some point.
Yeah.
But he, you know, in him, he's probably going to play till he's 40, but still be just as good. Yeah. But you're getting to this point where we haven't got an elite wide receiver. We have an aging Travis Kelce. Obviously, Mahomes should be coming to the peak of his powers. So the OC is going to have quite a lot to say when it comes to how good the Chiefs offense can be. And if it's going stale now, then what's it going to be in 12 months' time? I think there's a decision to be made at the end of the season. If Bieniemy goes for another round of interviews and he's unsuccessful again, hopefully he is successful and then we don't really have this problem. Yeah. But if he's unsuccessful again at the end of next season, then I think it might be the time to move on. And maybe he goes to college and goes gets a head coaching gig in college or gets an OC job elsewhere in the NFL. But if he isn't going to move on voluntarily, I think it might be a case that Chiefs need to move on and just maybe freshen it up a little bit because Andy Reid's not going anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Just before we hit the break, there's been a lot of talk basically about what has Chris Jones said that caused the penalty. I'll admit, when I watched the game, I thought, well, he hasn't really done much there. What the hell has he said? You know, it must be something bad if the ref has decided to throw a flag on it because you see players trash talking all the time. It's part and parcel of the game a lot of the time, isn't it? Even when they're lining up, you know, in the trenches, they're still talking with each other, and giving each other what for. So, a very strange one. It was boneheaded, really, from Chris Jones. If he has said something, you know, to that level, so he will learn from that, no doubt about it. He will no doubt learn from that. But that's the thing that gets Chris Jones fired up a lot of the time, though. It's talking in your helmet, isn't it? It's talking and trash talking the other player. It's getting yourself psyched up for the next play, and I think that's probably what Chris Jones was doing.
I don't know where I stand on this with the referee. Trash talking happens.
Yeah.
Players talk crap all the time to each other. It just is what it is. It's the NFL in general. It's American sports, and it happens over here. Actually, I don't know why I'm saying American sports and labeling it over like that. Sunday league football over here is horrendous. Sometimes we all call each other over here, but you don't see the referee flashing red cards and yellow cards.
No,
for love nor money. I don't know. I don't understand it. I feel like obviously if he said something so vulgar that cannot be repeated, then fair enough. But
I reckon he said, Derek Carr's better than you.
Oh, then throw the flag.
Throw the flag.
Throw that flag, referee. Chris Jones, you can't say that.
No, not having that, mate. Not having that.
Maybe it just went 28-3.
Yeah, some things can't be said. Some things cannot be said.
Or maybe he did talk about the 28-3 and that referee had so much money on the Falcons that night. And it just gave the referee PTSD about Tom Brady coming back and him losing his house.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, could be. It could be something along those lines, couldn't it? That was like, no, I'm not having that.
Do you think we'll ever find out? Like, do you reckon like the Chiefs or the Colts will ever like release like a mic'd up that shows
do you know what? I think if there was a mic'd up for it, I think they would have released it by now to say, look, nothing happened.
Yeah,
well, I think something's probably happened and it doesn't bear repeating, I suppose. But I mean, even the ref has even said that, you know, there was something said. I'm not going to say what he said, you know, keeping the professionalism, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
For Chris Jones and that. But even Chris Jones says, I can't remember what I said. I mean, you say things at the heat of the moment, don't you, as well? Especially in a game like that, you know, it's such a tight game. You say things at the heat of the moment and then you get a flag and you think, well, what did I say? What was wrong?
Well, it certainly cost us anyway.
It certainly cost us. It wasn't the only thing that cost us, but it was one of the things that was that was probably the biggest turning point in the game. That was really, especially.
Yeah, and I feel sorry for the defense because it was literally the only mistake they made all game.
They were brilliant. They were really good. Yeah, I know. Upsetting, but like you said, on to Tampa. Or is it Tampa? Right. Okay. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we will be previewing the game between the Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hi there, and welcome back to the Great British Chiefs Show with Brad and Tom. It's this part of the show where we do power rankings time. Tom, power rankings.
I can't be asked.
Okay, moving on to the game.
No. I'll give you a quick. I'll give you the quick top five. Chiefs 5, Ravens 4, Dolphins 3, Bills 2, and the Philadelphia Eagles, my Super Bowl pick, are number one. So, yeah, the Dolphins are unlucky to be third, some might argue. But
after beating the Bills, God.
Yeah, I still think in a game that matters, in a playoff game, I still fancy the Bills over the Dolphins. So
yeah, it could be just one of those hiccups again. There's quite a few teams at it this week, didn't they? Some hiccups. Mm-hmm.
It was a bonkers week. That Sunday 6 o'clock slate was just crazy.
Maybe it was something in the air, like a storm brewing or something.
Maybe.
That's, you know, the electrical energy's kind of, you know, knocked everybody off a little bit. Maybe that's the thing. But talking of storms, the Chiefs versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it might actually be moved. We don't know where it's going to be yet.
Yeah.
There has been some stadiums floated around.
Do you know what would have been better? Having this game in Germany, just saying.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly.
You know, just saying. Having this game in Germany would have been a lot better than
Brits were right. I'm sorry, but you know, we were right.
Latest update from Kimberly Martin of ESPN. They can make a decision as late as Friday on the venue, the NFL, which I think is horribly irresponsible.
It is.
I think it's irresponsible that they're even contemplating playing this game in Tampa Bay this weekend. I've actually got a girl at my work who's from Sarasota, which is only about 45 minutes south of Tampa. And she was meant to be flying home, and she's actually ended up staying at my work for a few days extra because it's obviously safer for her to be in the UK than it is in Sarasota right now. And it sounds awful what's going on in the ground in Florida at the moment. It sounds scary. Obviously, we don't really deal with that type of weather here. We had like a 90 mile an hour storm earlier in the year, and I think the worst thing that happened was my fence panel blew down. Over there, it doesn't sound like fun. It doesn't sound like security service, emergency services should be pouring resource into potentially making a football game happen in Tampa. Yeah. Surely there's got to be better ways to use public services, county services. So I think the reasonable thing for the NFL to do would be to move it, not to postpone it. There's no point postponing it because it just caused more headaches further down the line. We all remember what happened with COVID when they were postponing games. It was just like, you know, next, you know, the Ravens were playing the Steelers on a Monday afternoon, some random time, and you were trying to fit games in where you could. The game has to be played. It's the 17th game. The Bucs still get 8 more home games. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really make a difference. Just move the game. I've heard Minneapolis has been like one of the favorites to host it because they're obviously in London this weekend. So I think it would be wise for the NFL to move this game to somewhere like Minnesota.
And we've got another stadium free, haven't we? They can bring them over here, can't they?
I don't understand why that's not an option either.
Yeah, I would say that would have been a good option. That fly them over here, we'll fill the stadium out for it.
Yeah, yeah. Late notice, Tom Brady versus Pat Mahomes from London.
Not too shabby, is it? You know.
Yeah, but like, I don't understand why Arrowhead's not an option. Obviously, there might be a reason, a logistical reason, but surely it's the 17th game. So if you're going to bring that game to us, surely you just say the next time the Chiefs play the Bucks in the 17th game, it's just back at Tampa Bay.
Yeah,
and that's the way you swap it back. You say it might be in 40 years' time. But you say you just owe them one. Why not play Arrowhead?
But to not make a decision now, I mean, fans are going to be trying to get over there. We know a few people who are trying to fly up there for the Tampa game, ready for, you know, obviously previously prior to the Raiders game the following week. And it's already messing that travel plan up as well because, you know, you've got so many fans trying to get to a one place.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got this huge hurricane that's in there at the moment. It's going to cause devastation. There's no two ways about it. You know, it's not as if it's like, well, it might make a few things, like blow a few roofs off. You know, it's going to be a devastation. It's going to be a big thing. So making sure that the emergency services are concentrating on that rather than actually
trying to make a football game happen.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. Make the decision now. I mean, if this happened over here in this country, they'd have already changed it. They'd have changed it on Monday, gone.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of snow over here and suddenly the game's been changed, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So to have it dragging on like this, it's not fair on the fans. It's not fair on the players
No.
either.
And it's not fair on the people that are responsible for trying to make it happen either.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're sitting in Minnesota and you don't know whether you're going to be hosting the game this weekend or not.
Yeah.
Like, it's not fair. Hosting a game's not an easy thing. Like, I assume if they do use a neutral site that they're going to sell tickets for it. It's Sunday Night Football.
Well, yeah, yeah.
I assume so. Like, if it is in Minnesota, then there's going to be a lot of cars driving north out of Kansas City towards Minnesota. So, like, Jesus. Do you remember when the Vikings played it, the Chiefs?
Yeah, tsunami of red.
Yeah, it was all purple. No. It was when we played at Arrowhead.
Oh, no, I'm saying there'll be a tsunami of red.
Well, I'm with you. Yeah, it'd just be like that in the reverse. but yeah, I just hope they make a decision soon. I'm hoping by the time that people listen to this podcast that what we've just said for the last 5 minutes is kind of null and void, because if they have done that, then it means that the NFL do care a little bit and they're not this complete corporate giant that doesn't care about anyone.
You know, Roger Goodell's listening to this now and he's waiting for 5 minutes after the show finishes and then he'll make the decision.
Yeah, you reckon?
It always happens. He always does it. He listens to this podcast and he makes a decision off the back of what we've just said to totally contradict us.
So Andy Reid listens to this podcast. Brett Veach listens to this podcast.
Yep.
And Roger Goodell listens to this podcast.
For sure. Anyway, let's get on to the game, because this is the game that I have built up in my mind that this is the actual replay of the Super Bowl. And it's not the replay, but the rematch of the Super Bowl, because I have wanted this game so badly for Mahomes to play lights out against Tom Brady to show that Super Bowl 55 was an absolute fluke, right? That's what I've got playing in my mind over and over and over again. And I'm sure there's some Chiefs fans out there as well thinking, God, I would love to get one over on Brady right now. And this is one of those games that I circled at the beginning of the season that I really, really wanted to witness. And coming into this game now, I'm kind of freaking out a little bit because after seeing how the Chiefs played against the Colts, I'm a little bit concerned about this game, let's be honest, because the Bucs, yes, there's been a lot of talk about their offensive side having a little few hiccups here and there, and the offensive line has been kind of sort of depleted recently, and they've had a suspension with Mike Evans. Julio Jones is. I don't think Julio Jones played last game, did he?
Don't know, to be honest.
Can't remember.
I don't know.
It's all a blur at the minute.
To be honest, I didn't watch the Packers Bucks game. Like,
great.
I drank far too many beers that the Arrowheads have brought me up that I barely made it home, to be honest.
Did you?
Yeah.
Another meetup. Arrowheads Abroad meetup.
We did have an Arrowheads Abroad meetup, yeah.
The curse is real.
Yeah, we're now 10-8 all time, which is worse than Andy Reid's record since he's been in Chiefs. Yeah,
I mean, it's a winning record.
Yeah, it's like it's almost like we're the Titans.
Yeah, middle of the road, just every now and again, just getting a few wins.
Got on a little run, but yeah.
Yeah.
This game, I don't feel the same way about it as you do. Like, to be honest, I hadn't even given the Super Bowl a thought
until you
mentioned it then.
Sorry.
Like, it just didn't cross my mind. Like, that game is just, it doesn't count.
It was a non-Super Bowl, wasn't it?
It just doesn't count.
Yeah.
It doesn't, like,
it was a non-Super Bowl.
There was no platform for the Chiefs to beat the Bucks that night. It just wasn't there. The offensive line wasn't there. It was a Chiefs defense that couldn't stop bloody Gronk, for Christ's sake, aging Gronk. It wasn't there. It doesn't exist. I've literally erased that game from my memory until you said it then. Well done.
It's a one-team Super Bowl, wasn't it? That's what that was.
Yeah, basically.
That's what it felt like. It just felt like the Bucs turned up.
As good as.
Yeah, it was like the other team didn't even bother to get off the bus. But
this game does not carry the same Brady versus Mahomes magic as it has before. And
I think...
No, and like, this is most likely, I know we've said this before, most likely the last time Brady and Mahomes will play each other.
Who said that for the past 5 years?
I know.
I think
I'm 99% sure this will be the last time they play each other, because I don't think both teams are going to make the Super Bowl.
No.
And Brady's surely going to retire after this year.
Do you know what? I actually think he'll retire midway through.
No, you won't. That's ludicrous.
Do you not think?
No.
After everything that's going on off the field?
That's ludicrous. No.
Oh, well. I might put a bet on.
But this will be the last time. But it just doesn't feel very special. Every other time Mahomes has played Brady, it's felt really special. Mm. Like, it's felt like this is what you want. And there's been big build-up. Everyone's looking forward to this week when you get Mahomes versus Brady. Right now, they just doesn't feel the same. Is it because the offenses, both offenses aren't playing very well? Mm. Is it because the Bucs don't have any receivers, or they haven't had any receivers?
They do now.
They do now, yeah. The Chiefs' offense hasn't been particularly great. We've just both come off losses, them to the Packers, us to the Colts. Mm. Probably not the powerhouses in football either, which is fair to say. Like before, when the Patriots played the Chiefs, they were powerhouses. Even when we played in 2020 season, that week's 12 matchup, whatever it was, everyone was excited because both teams were pretty good.
Yeah.
Right now, it seems like there's obvious problems with both teams. The Bucs offensive line, the Chiefs offensive line.
It's a mirror image, mate.
They are basically the same team, and I just don't think it carries much of the usual pizzazz of a Mahomes-Brady matchup.
Yeah, you're right about the offense. I mean, the previous game against the Packers, the Bucs failed to convert on third down quite often. It was 2 out of 11 third downs.
Jesus, this is almost as bad as the Broncos.
That's terrible, isn't it? And when you think you've got somebody like Brady who, you know, he prides himself on plays like that, especially on third down, you know, 2 out of 11 were completed.
But Mike Evans weren't playing. Chris Godwin wasn't playing. He literally had no one. Yeah. It was like he was playing in New England again when he had no one to throw the ball to.
Sure, he left New England for this just to get out of the way of all of that.
Yeah. But I think both teams are defensive teams right now.
Yeah.
I just said it. Mm. I think right now the Bucs and the Chiefs, both teams are, their strengths are in the defense. And I don't think it's outlandish to say about the Chiefs, and it's certainly not outlandish to say about the Bucs. Well, they've played 3 games this season, and what they've conceded, 27 points or something like that? Is that all they've conceded?
Crazy, isn't it?
In 3 games. Against the Saints, the Packers and
Cowboys.
Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty damn good, especially when you think that, you know, like you said, you know, they've been missing players and the O-line's been leaky as hell.
And the defense has been on the field a lot.
Exactly.
A hell of a lot. But they seem to get Tom Brady back on the field as quick as they can. I know. The Chiefs are going to struggle. If they struggle to move the ball against the Colts and they struggle to score touchdowns against the Colts, they're going to struggle against this Bucs defense.
Yes.
And I'm just hoping that, like, the Colts were kind of a caged animal last week. Just say a caged pussycat. let's kind of hope, like, the Chiefs are like a caged titan. Like, let's go into mythology here. We're a titan and we need to, like, unlock the titans. And let's kind of hope that that's where Mahomes is at right now. And they managed to find a way to do it against this dreaded Bucs defense.
It is devastating defense. I mean, you were saying there about those 3 games, the most they've given away in a game this year is 14 points.
And that was to Aaron Rodgers.
And that was to
self-certified greatest quarterback of all time.
Self-claimed, that one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... I'm not looking forward to seeing the Chiefs offense against this Bucs defense because, like I said, if we can't handle the Colts, this Bucs defense is devastating. It's probably one of the number one in the league right now. It's that good.
Yeah. I know I just said how good they are, but then I've just kind of had a thought about this Bucs defense and who they've been playing.
Mm.
They play Cooper Rush for the Cowboys. They play Jameis Winston.
We like Jameis Winston.
Sorry?
We like Jameis Winston.
Yeah, but we like him for comedic values. That's why.
Yeah, we do, yeah.
Where was the pain, Jameis?
Yeah, just pain. It was pain everywhere.
And then they played Aaron Rodgers, who has no receivers. So I think it's fair to say that this is the best offense that the Bucs will come up against.
Yeah, so far,
So far this season, anyway. And it's probably also fair to say that this is the best defense that the Chiefs offense will come up against.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? I'm finding this such a hard game to call. And I think the stadium makes such a difference. On where I if this game is played in Tampa, I expect Tom Brady to win. if this game's played in Minneapolis or any neutral site, then my money's on the Chiefs.
Yeah. It's like we were saying, it's a mirror image. The comparisons are very much the same. But at the moment, I think, dare I say it, but this could be won on special teams. It was the best special teams right now.
Barker's got to be back, right?
You what?
Barker's got to be back, surely. I know we signed a kicker.
Who did we get from the Jets, was it?
No, that was Amendola, who we got before. I think he's Matt Wright or something like that. Used to be
from the Jags.
Jags kicker. Jags kicker. So. What a turn of events, eh? If this game's won on a Sky Moore punt return.
or a Justin Reid field goal.
I think the stadium decides everything for me. It's a coin flip. It really is a coin flip. Two teams coming off bad losses. Yeah. Two teams that have quarterbacks that are meant to be go down as one and two eventually when both careers are all said and done.
Just saying that, do you think the books have a say in whether they want to keep the game at their stadium or not? They must have a say.
They can't. Obviously, they can say, oh, this stadium's fine, we have the staff in place, but surely it's got to come down to the NFL getting advice from the county, from the city itself, to say whether it's safe or not.
Yeah, but the books could lose out on a lot of revenue out of this. I completely agree that it should be, you know, moved and elsewhere, but surely from a business perspective, from the books, you know, mindset is we're going to lose quite a lot of ticket sales here for the books game, and we're going to lose all the revenue that comes from game day money and all the food
that's
being done and everything. So,
but the Bucks are owned by the Glazers, who also own Man United. So if the Glazers become poorer, so does Man United. So I'm kind of happy about that.
You're all right with that. Move it, NFL. Move it, Roger. Move it. All right, then. Should we go with predictions?
Yeah.
I'm actually going for the Chiefs loss, and I feel dirty. I'm going to have a shower about it. I've gone Chiefs 17, Bucks 21.
The Chiefs score more than 17 points. They have to.
Well, they
should
the
have
Colts.
Had more. They should have had more last week. They absolutely should have had more last week.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this game gets played in a neutral site.
Yep.
Because I think it's the obvious choice. It has to happen. An indoor stadium, which will help Patrick Mahomes. If that's the case, I think the Chiefs win 28-21.
Right. So another close game, but.
Yeah,
the Chiefs edge in that way with a
win. They need to win. Like our following two games are the Raiders and the Bills. Mm. So if you drop this game to the Bucks, you're at 2-2, and then you say you beat the Raiders and then you lose to the Bills, you're at 3-3. You want to be above 500.
Yeah,
you don't like 500 in the AFC this year. Isn't going to get you any win at the number one seed. So you need to carry on winning games. Mm. And if we can go into that Bills game with a little bit of a buffer at 4-1, then that enables us a little bit of a wiggle room. So I think it's a big game for the Chiefs. I feel like it's a bigger game for the Chiefs than it is for the Bucks, because I think the Bucks will get good, will become good regardless. Mm. And they're in a division that absolutely sucks as well. Yeah. So they're going to be fine. They're going to win that division regardless. They're going to be hosting a playoff game where the Chiefs have a little bit more of a fight on their hand for A, the number one seed, and B, the division. So I feel this game is slightly more important for the Chiefs. And obviously, after all the questions that have been asked about the Chiefs this week in regards to players, coaches, schemes, everything, then I feel like the Chiefs need this get-right game more so than the Bucks do, because the Bucks had obviously their receivers were missing. So they had that obvious excuse there for losing to Aaron Rodgers. And they only lost by 2 points. And also they lost to Aaron Rodgers, where the Chiefs lost to a team they absolutely had no right in losing to. They were terrible all round, and they need this get right game. So I'm going to say the Chiefs.
Okay, then. That's all we've got time for this week. Hope you've enjoyed the show, as always. If you have, then please let us know by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. Stick around on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network for more Chiefs content. And, of course, keep up to date with everything Chiefs with daily content on our website, arrowheadpride.com. But all that's left to say here is, from one kingdom to another, we'll speak to you again soon.